The United States consuming nearly 40% of global data center electricity is the kind of number that sounds abstract until you attach it to something concrete. The International Energy Agency has projected that data center power consumption globally could double by 2030. If the US currently consumes 40% of that total, American data centers are drawing an extraordinary amount of power, and the growth curve is not flattening. The primary driver is AI inference workloads. Every time someone runs a query through a large language model, every time a generative AI system produces an image or analyzes a document, that requires significant computational work, and that work consumes electricity.
From a grid infrastructure perspective, this creates urgent questions about where that power comes from and how the grid handles the load. Data center operators have been signing power purchase agreements for renewable energy at a remarkable pace. Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and others have collectively committed to hundreds of gigawatts of new renewable capacity. But renewable energy has intermittency issues, and data centers need reliable, consistent power. The gap between renewable commitments and reliable baseload power is being filled in many cases with natural gas.
There's a genuine tension there between the sustainability commitments these companies have made and the actual energy mix they're drawing on. The 40% figure should be read alongside the geographic concentration of data centers. Northern Virginia alone hosts what's estimated to be the world's largest data center cluster, and the local grid stress that creates. Some Virginia counties have effectively stopped approving new data center construction because the grid simply can't support additional load without major transmission upgrades that take years to build.
Harlan Coben breaking his NoSQL rule for Netflix's Myron Bolitar series is genuinely good cultural news for a Monday. Coben has been one of Netflix's most reliable thriller partners. The adaptations of his standalone novels have performed consistently well in international markets, and Myron Bolitar as a character has a passionate following. The fact that the streaming platform could convince him to revisit that character after he'd publicly committed to no season 2 suggests Netflix's data showed audience demand strong enough to make the creative case for reversal compelling. It's a small story in the scheme of today's news, but it signals something about how streaming platforms are thinking about franchise value versus anthology structure.
And now for the part of today's episode where we interrogate one of our most confident claims. We've been fairly assertive throughout this episode about the AI adoption slowdown, using the 11% enterprise spending share for Fable 5 and Altman's admission as evidence that the AI economic revolution is arriving more slowly than predicted. But let's genuinely probe that.
The strongest counterargument, I think, is about measurement lag. Economic history consistently shows that transformative technologies appear to not be working right up until the moment they obviously are. The canonical example is electrification. Factories were wired for electricity for decades before total factor productivity statistics showed the payoff, because it took that long for organizations to redesign their processes around the new capability rather than just substituting the new technology for the old one. Are we in an analogous period with AI right now?
The productivity statistics for the last 2 years don't show dramatic AI-driven gains, but they also don't show the dramatic disruption that the most pessimistic labor economists predicted. Both camps have their preferred interpretation of that ambiguous signal. The honest answer is that the measurement tools we have for productivity are quite blunt, and they may be missing AI-driven gains that are real but not yet showing up in national accounts.
There's also a selection bias in the RAMP data. RAMP's customer base skews towards certain kinds of businesses, tech-adjacent companies, startups, growth-stage firms. That's actually the segment where you'd expect frontier model adoption to be highest. If even that cohort is predominantly choosing cheaper alternatives, it's meaningful. But it may not generalize perfectly to large enterprises with different risk tolerances, compliance requirements, and procurement processes.
The assumption I'd flag as most worth questioning is the implicit claim that lower enterprise spending on frontier models means AI is failing. It might instead mean that the competitive structure of AI is resolving faster than expected, that you don't need the frontier to get most of the value. If a model that costs one-tenth as much delivers 80% of the capability, the rational enterprise choice is obvious. That's not a failure of AI adoption. That's a market working efficiently, which is ultimately good for broad economic diffusion of the technology.
So what do we watch for? If we're wrong about the slowdown narrative, the signal would be a reversal in total factor productivity data in the next 4 to 6 quarters, specifically in professional services sectors like law, consulting, finance, and software development where AI tools have penetrated most deeply. The BLS releases those sector-specific numbers quarterly. If we start seeing productivity acceleration in those sectors that diverges significantly from historical trend, that would be strong evidence that the gains are real, but we're simply running ahead of the measurement.
And if Anthropic's IPO happens and comes in at a valuation above $100 billion, despite the 11% market share figure, that would tell you that sophisticated institutional investors believe in the long-term trajectory in ways that today's spending data doesn't capture. Market valuations price expectations, not current reality.